This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Some Connecticut families will get back to school help from the state. Long Island is expected to reap major economic benefits from offshore wind. Democratic primary results show Connecticut voters are ready for younger leadership. Plus, how do GLP-1s really work? Local experts weigh in. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut families who received services from the Department of Children and Families are getting some back-to-school help. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
The help is free backpacks and school supplies from the Olive Branch, a program run by DCF out of St. Luke's Parish House in Glastonbury. Deborah Franklin is a Norwich resident whose children are benefiting.
This is my third year coming here, and DCF has been wonderful, helping me get backpacks and supplies for my children. Financially, things can be a little stressful. So I think it's a great opportunity for families to come together and get the things you need for your children.
Sean Scanlon is the state controller. It's the fourth year his office has partnered with DCF to collect the donated supplies for the event, a tradition started by former Lieutenant Governor Nancy Wyman, who died last week.
That was just one of the many legacies that she left of starting a tradition to help people.
This year, the children are also enjoying free shopping, haircuts, a bounce house, and pizza. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Long Island is expected to reap major economic benefits from offshore wind projects. WSHU's Shelley Hussman-Kadish reports it could go beyond energy production and savings.
The nonprofit Long Island Association says the construction of the South Fork and Sunrise wind projects could add $460 million into Long Island's economy. The projects have created hundreds of jobs in the region. Their report says they also used local suppliers and partnered with local community groups, which adds even more value to the region, not to mention all the spending by the people working those jobs. But the future of new wind development appears uncertain. The Trump administration has stopped permitting for new projects. Construction on some projects was also stopped. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
When Luke Bronin won last week's Democratic primary for a House seat, it sent a stark message. Connecticut voters are ready for younger leadership. Who could be next to face that challenge? WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal will be 82 on Election Day in 2028. He has served 3 6-year terms and is raising money to run for a fourth. But he's not ready to announce whether or not he'll actually run.
Age is a state of mind more than a time of life, I feel. And I am very, very happy doing my job right now, as energetically as I feel is appropriate, and I feel good about it.
Blumenthal isn't the oldest member of Connecticut's federal delegation. That's 83-year-old Rosa DeLauro, who is up for re-election for a 2-year term this November. The median age of Connecticut's delegation is 68 and a half. The median age of Congress is lower, 64 for senators, 57 for representatives. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Do GLP-1s really work? That story is ahead. Stay here.
What haunts you? A ghost story? A family story? A story you've never told anyone before? WSHU and the Westport Writers Workshop invite Connecticut writers to take part in Connecticut Voices, a new storytelling collaboration. Start writing, revising, and fine-tuning your original story now. Submissions open September 1st. The winning writer will receive $250 and the chance to tell your story on WSHU. Learn more at WSHU.org.
The candidates for New York governor have tentatively agreed to a debate. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, the Republican nominee, is required to participate in at least one debate since he's accepting public matching funds. Democratic incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul is not. Her campaign says the date hasn't been scheduled yet. Fair season in Connecticut is here. Ag fairs have a long history in the state. Brooklyn CT's, founded in 1809, is often cited as the country's oldest continuously running ag fair. You can check that out August 27th through the 30th. The Bridgewater Country Fair is this weekend, same with the Hamburg Fair in Lyme. Stay tuned to our social media to see a full list. Long Islanders can help New York State track wild turkey populations. The Department of Environmental Conservation is asking residents to report sightings of turkeys and their babies using an online form. The DEC uses the collected info to estimate reproductive success and identify harvest opportunities. Connecticut has more millionaires than ever. Nearly 3,000 residents reported incomes of more than $1 million on their tax returns this year, according to the state. Financial experts credit a market that's good for wealth creation. In other words, the rich are getting richer. GLP-1s are popular, but scientists still don't know exactly how the weight loss drugs work. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports on Yale research that shows they do more than just kill your appetite. They trick your brain chemistry into burning fat.
Weight loss drugs of the past could usually top out at about 5% of your body fat. GLP-1s like Ozempic can go up to 20%.
So it's a big jump, and that's why it's such a great revolution when we talk about weight management.
That's Yale researcher Mateus Davila.
So there has to be something else there. And my work begins exactly there.
Davila looked at these neurons in the brain that cause us to get hungry. They're called AGRPs.
So every time this neuron is activated, you feel hungry and you go eat. We would expect that these drugs would suppress the activity of those hunger neurons, right? So they would make these cells stop working, and so you'd stop eating, and so you'd lose weight.
But he thought there was more to it than that. He ran an experiment on lab mice.
What I found out is that these drugs, the GLP-1s, instead of suppressing the activity of those AGRP hunger neurons, they actually activate these cells. They trick your body, if I could say that, into thinking it's hungry. And by doing that, they stimulate this process of fat utilization, fat burning. And that's what leads to weight loss.
Davila says that means the effects of GLP-1s aren't permanent. If you stop taking them, the weight can come back. But just knowing how they work could help scientists develop better GLP-1s.
That are more efficient, that perhaps have way less side effects, and that maybe the effect can last even after you stop taking these drugs. And that's what's really, really exciting.
Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app. And of course, you can tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. Don't forget to check out our new merch shop over at WSHU.org. Find tees, tanks, mugs, hats, and more. Just click on shop. And thank you for your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.